It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The story of Anne Frank, a German Jewish girl who went into hiding for 2 years with her family before being arrested by the Gestapo, has touched readers and theatergoers around the world. Anne was just 15 years old when she died of typhus at the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp in Germany, weeks before the camp was liberated by the British. Anne Frank kept a diary that was salvaged after World War II. Since then, Anne Frank, The Diary of a Young Girl, has been translated into 67 languages and has sold more than 30 million copies. The play, The Diary of Anne Frank, is based on her work and is currently on a successful run at the Pittsburgh Public Theater, where it has received rave reviews. I'm joined now in studio by Pittsburgh-based actor Randy Kovitz, who plays Anne's father, Otto Frank, the only family member to survive the Holocaust. Randy Kovitz, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Welcome back, I should say.
Thank you, Paul. It's great to be back.
If you have a comment or question for our guest, 412-246-2002, the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. If you have seen the play, we'd love to hear your reaction to it, how it has resonated with you. And if there are questions that you have about the production, the research, what the actors have gone through, again, the number to call, 412-246-2002. We had hoped to have Remy Zakin, who plays Anne Frank, with us, but she is feeling a bit under the weather and unfortunately was unable to join us today. Randy Kovitz, there is a great emotional weight that playing a character like Otto Frank brings with it. And the fact that you are the only one who survives puts an even greater burden on you as an actor because you are essentially the only one left to grieve at the end. How would you describe the challenge of bearing up under the weight of all of that?
I would describe it as emotionally expensive. It costs you as an actor to go to these places that you have to go. It costs you emotionally. You know, it's painful. But the story is so important that it's really worth it. And by the way, he wasn't the only one to survive. The helpers survived, although they weren't arrested. But I think it was very hard for them, too, especially Miep Gies and Mr. Kugler, who in the play is called Mr. Crawler. They survived as well. But
we see them at the end. But I mean,
Otto was in Auschwitz.
Right,
so,
right.
It takes a lot of preparation and focus because the very first scene in the play is the day Otto returns to the annex after getting out of Auschwitz. And although the play is skewed a little bit factually, that must have happened, although it didn't happen in the way that the play says it. But for dramatic dramatic purposes, they do it that way. It's hard, but but I feel a great responsibility to be accurate, and it's not difficult as an actor to go there. It's just that afterwards you're pretty drained.
Well, I'm sure. I think the audience is drained. I felt drained at the end of the play, but in a different way than I thought. You know, sometimes you watch something and you just have to go lie down. And I felt, in spite of the tragedy of it all, somehow exhilarated by the story, that makes sense.
Anne's diary, or Anna as we call her in the play, mm-hmm. Is extraordinary. I mean, she was really a literary titan, unbeknownst to her, because she even questioned, am I ever going to be a good writer, in the diary. But the insights that she had, especially for a 13, 14, and 15-year-old person, are extraordinary, and I think that's why it's resonated throughout the world as like it has.
And there was that haunting moment from the play where you, after reading Anne's diary, one of the first things you say was that you hardly knew her. That Otto is quite stunned at the revelation of reading Anne's innermost thoughts.
Well, that's directly from Otto Frank. If you YouTube videos of Otto, you'll see him say that. You'll see the man say that. He says one of the things that the diary shows us is that we can never really know our children. We can never really know their minds or their inner thoughts. And I think that's what he was talking about, because the diary was kept secret. Anna didn't let anyone read it. It was kept in Otto's briefcase. And she asked him never to look at it, and he never did. And in fact, when he got it after the war, that was the first time he'd seen it, and it took him a long time to read it.
So he doesn't just sit down and read it the way the character does in the play.
No, that would take an entire diary. There are two versions of it, plus a bunch of short stories. Anne Frank wrote a version of the diary, and then there was a broadcast by a Dutch official on the BBC asking those in hiding to please keep these diaries so people can know what they went through. And at that point, Anna decided that she would rewrite it. So there's a B version where she changed a lot of names to protect people, and she even edited things. She had sort of at that point gotten over her obsession with Peter, the boy who was in the annex with them, and she cut out a lot of the mushy stuff she'd put in about him before. Mm. And then when Otto published the diary, he picked and chose what to put in. And there's actually a bit of controversy over that, about that there are some scholars, one of whom I met, who believe that the truest version of the diary would be the B version, the version that Anna edited herself. But we have what we have, and it's still pretty extraordinary.
And when and how did he get the idea that this diary was something the world needed to see?
Well, he started to have it translated so his mother could read it. This was in maybe 46 or 47.
And why would his mother not be able to read it?
It was in Dutch.
Oh,
her
she
mother
wrote it
was
in
German.
Dutch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And he had a friend read it who actually, I believe, was in the literary business. And the friend encouraged him to have it published. So there was a Dutch and then German version published. And then he had it. I'm not sure if I'm if I have the right order there. But then it was published in the U.S. in, I believe it was late 40s or 1950.
And what's interesting is that, you know, the play is in English, of course, so you don't know what language they're speaking. We do know that Otto is German, that Anne, as she's called in the play, was born in Germany. I guess I didn't realize that they're all speaking, but they would have all been speaking in hiding, was Dutch.
Most of them. We don't know, really, but yes, we think it was Dutch. And we did, we had an amazing dialect coach, Don Wadsworth, who helped everybody with the accents. And it's subtle, but the accents are different. Those who are Dutch speak with a different accent than those of us who are German in the play, although they're fairly similar. But yeah, it was Dutch was the main language.
Interesting. And Otto Frank lived to be 91 years old. Hmm. How much do you think telling Anne's story kept him going?
I think it's what he dedicated his life to. It was not just telling Anne's story, but it was fighting racism and prejudice and the kinds of things that led to the Holocaust. But yes, he was a fierce protector of all things, you know, Anna. And he also, there were two versions of this play. One of them was written by a guy named Meyer Levin, who had written some other pretty famous things. And when Otto brought that script to a producer in New York, the producer said it wasn't good enough. And so Otto rather ruthlessly cut off communications with this man and decided to go with a different set of playwrights. And that's Francis Goodrich and Albert Hackett, who had written a ton of stuff for films, including they were writers on It's a Wonderful Life and a bunch of other things. And they spent 2 years and eight drafts before he accepted what they did.
Wow.
So he was very fiercely protective of everything.
And I understand parts of the story were changed for the true story were changed for the stage play.
Yes.
Why would Otto Frank sign off on that?
He was more interested in having people see it than having it be completely, this is my theory, completely accurate. There are things in the play that never happened. There are things in the play that are there strictly for dramatic purposes. The Mr. Van Dan stealing food never happened. But it's a great...
That's in the movie, too, I remember.
Yes. But it is a great dramatic device. There are a lot of dramatic devices. Things are
well, it's a way of conveying just how hungry people are, because he's essentially stealing food out of the mouth of his own children, his own son.
Yes. And apparently the family of... His real name was Van Pels, not Van Damme. The family was extremely angry after the play came out about that portrayal of their ancestor.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking with Randy Kovitz, who plays Otto Frank in The Diary of Anne Frank, which continues at the Pittsburgh Public Theater through October 25th. We're interested in hearing your reactions to the play or your questions about the play at 412-246-2002. There were a good many teenage girls who attended The Diary of Anne Frank at Sunday's matinee performance. I had a chance to speak with three of them, and here are some of their reactions.
My name is Jocelyn Lene Williams, and I'm 13 years old.
So what did you think of the play today?
I liked it. It was a good play. I think the actors and actresses did very good.
What was the most important thing that you think you'll take away from this in terms of what you learned or how you felt about the story, that kind of thing?
That people shouldn't be judged on who they are, and they should be judged on how they act and how they treat people.
Did you know much about this story before?
Not very much. I read it last year in school, and that helped.
I'm Elena, and I'm 11 years old.
What did you think of the play?
I really liked it, like seeing the story, because I didn't really know a lot about Anne Frank. And the play and the set, it really brought it alive.
What was it like for you to see these things happening to a girl who's pretty close to your age?
Well, it's kind of sad to think that a girl that age would have to go through all of that.
What was the biggest thing that you take away from that story?
Probably how in the end, how like it was probably like really scary for them when the green police came and finally found them. Even though they were kind of so close to being saved, but they were found.
Is it kind of heartbreaking in a way, or is it uplifting?
Kind of both, because it's really sad that they had to be taken to a concentration camp and put through all of that. But since her diary was found, it probably did help impact if her diary wasn't found, we probably wouldn't have seen this play today.
Gabrielle Corcoran, 12 years old.
And Gabrielle, what did you think of the play? What did you think of this whole story of Anne Frank?
Well, it was good. I mean, there was some light, sad moments, but there's also a lot of good comedy moments. I mean, it's a mix of things. So, it's a good play for a lot of people who like a mix of things. So, if you're one of those people who likes a bit of drama, a bit of action, a bit of comedy, I mean, it's a good thing for you.
As a young lady who's about Anne Frank's age, how did the story hit you emotionally?
It was interesting, personally. I think it was exciting. I think it was a bit scary. It was a pretty good show. I mean, if I were in her shoes, I would be terrified, upset, happy, mix of things.
Would you have kept a diary?
Probably.
Do you think it helped her to write everything down?
Oh, yes, definitely. When anybody's under stress, they think they should always write their feelings down because it helps them to get rid of stress.
Is it lucky for us that we have this, you know, all these years later, that something that helps us understand the Holocaust a little more?
Yes, I mean, it's always good to have some part of history with you, especially when it's something as interesting as, well, the Holocaust and World War II.
Those young ladies made me feel like Art Linkletter. They said the darndest things.
Fantastic.
And such insightful things. Some reactions from a few of the young ladies who attended last Sunday's matinee performance of The Diary of Anne Frank at the Pittsburgh Public Theater, and our guest Randy Kovitz, who plays Otto Frank, Anne Frank's father. What's your reaction to what you just heard?
They sound like reviewers from the New York Times. I mean, fantastic insights from these people. And honestly, one of the main reasons I wanted to do this play is so that people their age could see it, because I don't want this story to fade away. And the fact that they said what they did means that they got it. So I'm very blown away by their comments.
And there was, in fact, a great review in the Wall Street Journal pointing out that this play hasn't been on Broadway in years, and here's this great regional theater in Pittsburgh doing it. So another feather in your cap. And by the way, we have Randy. This is almost like This Is Your Life, but we have your dramatic wife, Mrs. Frank from the play, the cast member Christine Latta on the line.
Fantastic.
To join our conversation. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I just tuned in because it was one of my students that you interviewed. Was one of the little girls, and today in my class, she said, "I'm going to be on the radio, Miss Latta. Turn on the radio." So I got in my car, and I thought, "Well, I must have missed it," and I tuned in right. And so I wanted to thank you for interviewing young people. I thought that was really wonderful, and I agree with Randy. They sounded so eloquent.
Hi, Christine.
It's your husband. He's on the line.
Edith, how are you?
I'm good. I'm going home and taking a nap.
Well, Chris, thanks for calling in. And let me say that you did such a great job. In your performance, all of your performances were tremendous. But, you know, you there's a point in the play where you just understandably absolutely lose it. And you do it in such a convincing way.
Thank you.
Terrifying, frankly, yes, to be on stage with, but lovely.
Yes. So thank you. Congratulations on the run so far and Break a Leg.
Thank you for having us, and thanks for supporting the show.
My pleasure.
Bye, Christine.
Randy, what is it about this play that continues to resonate with audiences today, 70 years since the end of World War II?
I think it's a number of things. I think that the extraordinary phenomenon of someone so young having such an impact is amazing. And I also think that, you know, there are a lot from, you know, Rwanda to the Balkans to the oppression of homosexuals in Russia today to the huge influx of people into Europe right now fleeing persecution. I just don't think it's ended. So I think that it is a great way to keep that discussion alive. I think that's the reason. I also think it's a good play. It's entertaining as well
it
as,
really
as everything
is.
Else.
I was going to say that, and the young ladies certainly conveyed that. Let's take another call from Liz from Squirrel Hill. Hi, Liz. You're on with Randy Kovitz.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I think just listening to what Randy said about how this continues, listening to your interview today, and it just really reminds me that there are people today in our society that we treat the same way that the Jews were treated, in terms of basically they were criminalized just for being who they were. And so it was okay to round them up and force them to work to death and kill them. And here in Pittsburgh, we have a young man named Leon Ford who was pulled over in a traffic stop and was shot 5 times, and you know, by a police officer, and Mr. Ford has now started a project called Leon Ford Speaks, and he's talking about his own life and the lives of other young men like him, and
keeping
and
a diary.
I hope he has the impact that Anne Frank's diary has, and hopefully it doesn't take 70 years.
Let's certainly hear here. And just so you know, Liz, it was nearly a year ago to the day that Leon Ford was here in his wheelchair in a studio discussion that we broadcast live from our performance space, a police community relations forum that we had here as part of Essential Pittsburgh. So all of these discussions are important, and I appreciate your sharing that with us.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're more than welcome. Randy, I wanted to ask you about the research that you did to prepare for this role. There's some interesting stories there.
Well, you know, I read every book I could find on it, including the critical edition of The Diary, which includes all three versions. Watched a lot of documentaries, talked to, as much as I could to various people. But one of the, and I also wrote a proposal for a grant from Greater Pittsburgh Arts Council. I was encouraged to do that, to go to Amsterdam too. That I had an invitation to the Anne Frank House to be their special guest, but I was not awarded that grant. I did manage to pass on that connection to the director Pam, and she was able to go and see the Anne Frank House and also go into Otto's office, his private office, which is never open to the public, and that was amazing. But instead of going to Amsterdam, I went to Seattle to visit my sister. And when talking to a friend of hers, he said, you must meet this woman. So I arranged a meeting with this woman named Laureen Nussbaum. And it turns out I was sitting down talking to her in the retirement home. And I said, so did you know Otto Frank? And she said, he was the best man at my wedding. She had known Margaret and Anna. She had done a play with Anna. She grew up, she was from Frankfurt, moved to Amsterdam in 36. The Franks moved in 33. And she, her family knew the Franks. And after the war, her fiance, who had been in hiding, and Otto would go to the train station every day as Jews returned from the Holocaust, holding up pictures. Her husband of his mother and Otto of his family, hoping that anyone that came through might know something. This was before he knew the fate of Margaret and Anna. He did know that that Edith had died in Birkenau. So that was, you know, just immersed myself in as much as I could. I thought I knew a lot about the Holocaust. I was brought up, you know, Jewish, and I had started seeing the films and hearing about it when I was in like first grade, which I don't recommend showing people films of the Holocaust in first grade, but I was shown them. And I still kept finding new and more shocking things about it. It's inconceivable to most of us what happened then, which is another reason I think it's very, very important to do this play.
Randy Kovitz plays Otto Frank, the father of Anne Frank, in the Pittsburgh Public Theater's production of The Diary of Anne Frank, which continues through October 25th. Randy Kovitz, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh. Again, congratulations on doing such fine work. And again, I would say that based on what I saw, this play would be well worth your time to see if you're at all on the fence about it. Randy, again, great thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, we'll take you to Forbes Field, or at least where Forbes Field once stood, and a photographic exhibition representing the things that happened at Forbes Field. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.